So if you would please join me, we're going to be in John chapter 8, verses 31 to 47. Reading John chapter 8, verses 31 to 47. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me, because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father." "Abraham is our father," they answered. "If you were Abraham's children," said Jesus, "then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father." "We are not illegitimate children," they protested. "The only father we have is God himself." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." Let us pray and give thanks for God's words. Oh, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your truth. We thank you, Lord, for the guidance that it gives us. But most of all, Father, we thank you for, well, just bringing your voice into our lives and to remind us that you're always with us, not only in words, but in the Holy Spirit. And so then we ask, Father, that you help us to receive your words, to receive them in the love that you brought them to us, and help us, Father, then to live them out in our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you know, in the last few weeks, we've been talking about the Apostles' Creeds. And so we talked about God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And as we talked about those things, then now I wanted to bring us how we see in contrast to those things, and that is Satan himself. That as we look at Satan and we try to understand who he is in our world, I think we need to have a real perspective of what he is. You know, that he's not a scapegoat. And that he's not something that we can just turn to and blame all of our problems on Satan when we have much to do with that ourselves. So I want us to have this understanding. And I think that as we go out into the world and we look for what is it that protects us, how is it that we face this in the world, we need to have the understanding of who he is. Now we're going to break this up into three parts. So this first part that we'll be talking about today is really just to identify him, that Jesus identified Satan and that he told us some things about him. And then we'll come back and we're going to talk about his strategy in the world. How does he try to overcome you? And how does he try to overcome what you try to do in God's name? And then finally, then we're going to talk about our protection against Satan. So as we look at who Satan is and who Jesus identifies him to be in our lives, we need to understand something, is that we're susceptible to being deceived. It's easy to deceive us. It's easy to deceive ourselves. And because of that, it's easy then for Satan and for other people to deceive us as well. And this is what we're looking at here today, is his character, who he is. How, you know, what is it of him that comes into our lives that changes so much? And people who are under his influence, what is it that they do, say, are, believe? All of those things that come with them that are in contrast then to God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So as we look at this deception, as we look at our own vulnerabilities in this, we need to understand our need. And so that's why Jesus came into the world. He came in to lead us to the truth, to show us the truth, to help us in his time to tangibly touch the truth, to touch the Word of God, Jesus Christ himself. And so as we look at all these concepts that come in together, as we look at all these things that we have here, and certainly in John here and in other places, that we must remember that we have a need for Jesus, his truth. His truth. If we reject his truth, we have nothing. If we reject his truth, as Jesus will help us to understand, all we have left is the world and Satan. That's all you have left then. Okay, so let's take a look at that. I know it sounds like strong words. I know it sounds maybe like, you know, there's got to be happier things to talk about. But let me tell you that when we find ourselves under the care and protection of our God, the sovereign God who created us, there's nothing more that we should rejoice in than he loves us, that he cares for us. So let's take a look at our reading here. And in the first couple of verses, in 31 and 32, notice that Jesus is talking to the Jews who had believed in him. There's a past tense there that we should take notice of. So they came to a belief. All right, so now in that belief, Jesus is speaking to them. And he gives them a condition. He says, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Much in the same way that we come to the teachings in Bible Living Class, that we come to the teachings in the Sunday service, or that we come to the teachings in what we discuss with each other or in other places that we find it, we must hold ourselves to that teaching. And Jesus says, if we do, then you are really my disciples. But then he goes on to say, so if you do that, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Set you free is a thing that they don't understand when Jesus says it to them. They don't quite get it. So the response to him is, how can you say that we shall be set free? We've never been slaves. But yet Jesus looks at them in a reality that they can't recognize. They certainly can't recognize it without faith in him. They are slaves. And they are slaves to sin. Indeed, in many times we find ourselves that we will be a slave to something. And, you know, that in a world that we're a slave to something, either it's an addiction or it's to an issue in our lives that we just want to keep alive, or if anything in our lives, you know, that controls us, that owns us, you know, drugs, alcohol, sex, all of these different things that control us, that we say, well, we have control over them, they have no control over us. The truth is we don't. The truth is we had surrendered to those things. And we surrendered to them and we continue to surrender to them because we cannot see the difference, because we cannot see our way out to freedom. So they ask him then, how can you say that we shall be set free? And Jesus answers to them this, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. So first he gives us these conditions of truth. That this is how you know truth, through Jesus and his teachings, which now hopefully and prayerfully are being passed on to you. So we have those conditions. And now he moves into need, that you are enslaved to your sins. These are things that they really don't consider. They don't think about that very much. They don't think how their sins control them in their lives. Now notice in his sentence here that we have a use of a noun and a verb in the same word. So you're who sins, your verb, and you're a slave to the noun sin. Now there's a significance in that. And that it's in itself is an entirety of the control over you. You have sin, you give in to sin, you sin. These are the things that drive us in this battle, this struggle that we have. And so as he points these things out to them, and certainly in a desire to open up their eyes to this, he wants them to understand that they are being enslaved by sins. And this is the desire of Satan. Satan desires that you give in to your sins. Because each and every moment that you do, you walk further away from God. Each and every time that you give in to sins, and I don't care how big they are, I don't care how small they are, if they are sins, you are walking away from God in each and every one. Now, maybe one feels more like a crash than the other, but the concept is still there. The idea that you would walk away from God's truth is to walk away from God's Son, is to walk away from God. So that's Satan's desire. And that's why Jesus brings this in. And as we see him leading us all in, we start to see and understand that he really is doing something here. And it's really amazing when you take a moment to look at it. Okay, so he has drawn them from this condition of truth. He has drawn them to their need. So now you have these two things in front of you. You have your need. You have this condition. And so as he brings them up and he's talking to them about their sins, he says, there is one thing that will free you, and that is the son of the family. A son is not a permanent member of the family, a slave is not a permanent member of the family, but the son is. And if the son sets you free, then you will be free forever. And certainly as he has referenced sin and the spiritual struggle that we have with that, then he is also then bringing to us is that understanding that Christ, the Son of God, is the answer to our sins. And he says, so I know that you are Abraham's descendants. Notice he doesn't say father. He says descendants. He says, but yet you're looking for a way to kill me. So in that you do these things that you say that you shouldn't be doing, you do them anyway. You know, so you're committing sins under God. And so as you do that, then none of this makes sense. He's pointing this out to them. So notice that as he brings them into the needs that they have for Christ and their sins, that he says to them, we can see this. I can see this in you. This is the reality of who you are. You think that you're right side up, but really, when you look at your world and your life hard, you'll realize that you are upside down. And so as he brings that to that moment, notice how he switches this at the end of there. We're kind of like in the second half of verse 38. He says, you are doing what you have heard from your father. So you see, so he's changed this. He's changed it. He talks about their descendants. He says, so you're just doing what your father says. Now the idea in this family is that everybody is responsible to the father. That everybody not only shows the respect to the father, but the father has authority within the family. And so as the father speaks this, then they should do. That is their command, that is their instruction, that is their directive, their guidance. And so they do these things as the father instructs. And so Jesus says to them, you are doing what you have heard from your father. Notice how he changes the conversation. We were talking about the truth and the condition of truth in Christ, where truth comes from. And then we were talking about our sins, the obstacle to us understanding truth. And now all of a sudden, Jesus brings it back around to a family dynamic. Jesus brings it back around to their father. Now, this is significant to us in the sense that when Jesus leads us to truth, this is what it means. That he guides them in this to understand the need, to understand what it is that we should desire, and to understand why we can't desire it. What's there? He wants to open our eyes to these truths. And if we will not open our eyes to them, then we will never see them. So he leads them to. He is guiding and leading them into this understanding of who he is. So they respond to him. Abraham is our father. All right. So Jesus never said that. They said that. They said Abraham is our father, one of the early church fathers. And so as they bring that out, they throw that out as their defense. Then Jesus, if you notice in the following verses, up to from 39 to 41, he says, if you were Abraham's children, then you would do what Abraham did. You would obey God. You would listen to God. And then when he told you that you were doing something wrong, you would stop doing it. That he would help you. You would take that help, and then you would walk forward in that, in God, so that you would be right with him. But he says, as it is, you're looking for a way to kill me. You're looking for ways to commit a sin. You go out of your way to find them, and then when you find them, you act on them. So then in verse 41, he kind of steers that again, and he says, you are doing the works of your own father. So notice their response, and I love this part because this is so much me. He says, we are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. Notice how they changed the argument. So he says to them, you do the works of your father. They say, our father is Abraham. Jesus says, no, you got that all wrong because of these things. And then now they say, okay, all right. Our father is God. They keep upping the ante. If they were right the first time, why did they change? Because there's a contradiction that's taken place. They understand what Jesus is telling them is the truth. They understand that it's the truth about them, and they're trying to deny it. They're trying to resist it. And so instead of standing there and saying, then Jesus, help us. Tell us what it is that we need to be or do. Instead, what they do is they try to change the argument themselves. They try to one-up Jesus. Our father is Abraham. Jesus said, well, if he was, here's all the things then you would be doing. Wait a minute. No, our father is God. You can't top that, can you, Jesus? You see, so as he brings them through this, notice how in their contradictions, they start to squirm. They're squirming big time now. And as they are squirming in these things, as they are starting to kind of feel that conviction, they're starting to feel that discomfort in what Jesus is saying to them, Jesus press home the truth. If God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. Okay, so he tells them. He tells them this flat out. You see, this is the thing. So now he's led them through all of these things. He's led them through their own contradictions. And in their own contradictions, they're the ones who have spoken the answer. Our Father is God. And now they're wide open for Jesus' truth. He says, well, if your God is Father, you would love me, not want to kill me. You see, so as he brings them to that moment, they're at this moment of understanding. And it's going to go one way or the other for them. Now, if you would look at verse 42, where I just read, if God were your father, you would love me, for I've come here from God. Jesus goes into a question. He says, how come you don't understand me? Why isn't this clear? He says, because you're unable to. You can't hear this. 44, you belong to your father, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desire. Jesus says, there's only two places for you to be in this world. It's either with your father God, or it's with the devil who will be your father. He doesn't say there's an in-between. He doesn't say that there's, there's maybe a father in the middle there somewhere. He doesn't say that. What he says is if you don't live with God, then you live with Satan. He said, yeah, but I'm a good person. I do good things. I have a good job. I take care of my family. I do all of these things. I just don't accept your God. Boom, there's the sin. Boom. Two sins, right? You reject God, you reject Jesus and the truth that he brought. That as we look at these things and we try to understand what Jesus is doing with them, he places it right in front of them. Which one will you say is your father? Is your father God? Or is your father the devil? And this is what he says about the devil. And this is where we come into recognition of those two things. There is God and there is the devil. That he gives us an understanding of who the devil is. He says, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. You want to do best for your father. And trust me, what man in this room doesn't know what it's like to try to please a father? That it kind of sticks in your heart. You want to be pleasing to your father. And sometimes you either get accepted or you get rejected. It's a common thing among men. But he says, this is your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning. Well, what do you mean? We didn't see him really kill anybody. But you see, understand this, that to God, death isn't whether we live or die. Death is where we will spend eternity. And that if we're going to spend eternity without God, then we have death. If we spend eternity with Jesus and God, then we have life. This is what Jesus has been trying to tell them. He said, I'm the bread of life. I am the water that gives life. I am the Son that was sent to you so that you could be saved. And they keep rejecting it. They keep rejecting these words. They keep rejecting this. And every time they do, Satan murders another person. He brings another person to himself. You see, Satan doesn't really care what you think of your life. Satan really has no value for you. His contest isn't to be superior to God, because he can't be. He's not a God. He never will be a God. He's a fallen angel. He was created by God. But rather, what his motive in this is to make sure that you don't stand with God. He is going to spite God in any way that he can. And the first way is to take away the children who love him. And so he continues to intervene in those things. So he is a murderer for each and every child that comes to him who he doesn't value whatsoever. He has assigned them to a life without God forever. He says there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. In other words, anytime he is talking, Satan is lying. Anytime that Satan speaks. And he is the father of lies. So if you live in the lies of Satan, of the devil, then you yourself live in that lie. You speak that lie. Now I know these are some tough words. These are some hard things to get a hold of, that someone would bring us to this moment and they would say to us, you know, listen, if you don't follow God, then you were Satan. He said, no, I'm not. I don't believe in Satan. It doesn't matter. You see, because that's one of the lies. It's one of the lies to think that somehow or other we control all this. We're the ones that decide what a belief is and what a belief isn't. That we're the ones who decide, you know, what's important and what's not important. That somehow or other we're the ones who decide what a good virtue is and what a bad virtue is. God assigns those things. He has assigned those things into the world because he created the world to be good. It was the sin of man that polluted it. And it was by the influence of Satan that the sin of man was drawn out. And then when it was drawn out, then it became the cornerstone of what man was building. Because Jesus was the cornerstone, or is the cornerstone, of what God is building. So as we build our crooked shack, Jesus is building a kingdom. And so Satan doesn't care whether you're successful. He'll give you success if you want that, as long as you don't believe in God. If you want more stuff, he will give you more stuff. All he cares is that you just don't assign God the gratefulness for having that stuff. All of these things are the things of the world. All of these things helped us to understand what the world is. That when we look out into the world and we see the truths that the world says it speaks, we find in them lies. We find in them contradictions. And in those contradictions, for example, if you will, just bear with me on this, that the world tells us now that we decide what a girl is and what a man is, or a woman and a man, what a male and a female is, that we decide that. Even though God assigned that here in Scriptures, even though God assigned that, do you realize that when we look in the face of what that is, we have to stand against reality? If you want to accept that, and if you're going to accept that, let me pray for you. But if we're going to accept that position, because it's really not a truth, it's a lie, but if you accept that position, then you're going against the reality of what people are. A woman is a woman. A man is a man. Now, a man might act like a woman sometimes. He might be in touch with his feminine side. But that doesn't change what he was made. He's still a man. And he can mutilate himself and he can do all of these things that he wants to himself. But in the end, he's still a man. There's no getting around that. All we can do is force the issue on not on God, but on others, further fulfilling the lie of Satan. And then, trust me, loved ones, I use that example because it's so blatant. But there are plenty of other examples that we can use in there. There are so many other examples that, that we deceive ourselves in. For in other words, if we say something is good, but God has never recognized it as good, then he will take that away from you. Listen, and the church is good for this, by the way. We're good for deceiving ourselves. We think that it's good that if man oppresses his wife. Now, that we don't believe that here in the church today, but that has been a part of our church. That it was okay to understand women as second-class citizens and men were first-class citizens. That was okay because women didn't really have much to say anyway. Now, where's my wife? I don't mean that, okay? I'm just using that for an example, all right? You got that, okay. I still want to go home and have dinner. Okay, so we've had this in the church for the longest time, and we've heard a lot of people with this. You know, but then all of a sudden, one day, we realized we were looking at ourselves, and actually, I'm going to tell you who it was that was looking at themselves. It was the women. And they were looking at themselves, and then somebody said to them, well, you know what? We don't really want to hear from you. You don't need to be there because we don't need to hear from you. And they showed up anyway. Because they had something to say. They had something they wanted to give to us. They wanted to share what God has made in them as well. And then all of a sudden, some of the men started to realize their eyes were open in this truth, and they started to realize, you know, there are equals. They have roles. They have things that they're supposed to do. They can bear children. Men cannot. I don't care what Eric says about, you know, passing a kidney stone. You don't take that kidney stone home and nurse it. Well, maybe you do, Eric, but nobody else does. You did it? Okay. All right. We'll talk about that. But, you know, you have all of these things that we look at and we start to realize that's not God's truth. And all of a sudden, it's funny, wasn't it? And all of a sudden, these things start to turn, right? And we start to realize, well, it's not you turning those things. It's not you turning them around. It's not you convincing people that they're not people because they believe all of the crazy things that they believe. It's God who turns it around. It's God who helps them to see that there's this contradiction. It is Jesus that opens their eyes to this. We might be there and the ones that point to Jesus, but it's not our place to punish them. It's not our place to judge them as children of the devil. That's God's. And that's God, what he is saying right here, right now. This is where you find them. This is who their father is. You see, out of all of this, what Satan desires, in this family thing that we got going on with this discussion, and you see this in the world too, by the way, all Satan wants of you is to be an orphan. Is it any wonder that Jesus came into the world and says, I will not leave you. I will not let you be orphans. You will be a part of a family. And is it any wonder that the world attacks that? The world doesn't want families anymore. They want families just to be open bordered kind of things. And we won't even get into borders. But the idea that the family would fall first is not an idea from God. And if it's not from God, it's from Satan. It's Satan's influence. But we have this understanding and this desire to please our Father God. And so we should never listen to what Satan says. In verse 47, you'll find a very sad truth. Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. If you belong to God, you'll hear what he says. You'll do what he says. But then he goes on to say the reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Loved ones, the world is our testing ground. This is our desert. And it comes to us oftentimes. Do you accept the truth of God? Do you accept the truth of Jesus? If you do, then you're listening to him. But you cannot accept it if you do not hear it. You cannot accept it if you don't belong to God. If you don't belong to God today, I want to beg you with all of my heart to open up your mind to God and his truth. To open up your eyes to see the contradictions of the lies that are told in the world about God. To open up your heart so that you can be received into the family of God. and never be an orphan, and never be alone, as you would with your father, the devil. Father, I do thank you for this time with your loved ones. I thank you, Lord, that you continue to place it on their hearts to be here. I ask, Father, that you never let them go. Continue, Lord, to put that desire in their hearts to be with you, to understand you, to know you. Help them, Father, to remember that they are sinners. They do have sins. We all have that. There's nothing perfect about any of us in this room or in this world. The perfect one came and has left and now teaches us through the Holy Spirit. And so I just ask, Lord, that you help us all to open up our eyes to our real need, to not be afraid, to not listen to the lies of Satan and the encouragement that he gives to reject God, our Father. So help us to know him and help others to know him, Lord. Help them to receive your truth. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please?